T-Mobile's unlimited plan costs $95 per month for a smaller network, plus monthly taxes and fees. It's enough to wreck your day. Cricket's unlimited plan gives you a bigger network for $25 less per month with monthly taxes and fees included. Cricket Wireless, something to smile about.
Download speeds max of 8 megabits per second LTE and 4 megabits per second 4G. Price comparison based on one smartphone line with unlimited plan. Mobile hotspot not available. Activation, other fees and restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Terms, features, and restrictions subject to change. See store for details.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Robert Douglas Drake III, and I'm your host. And as you know, I'm here to do radio the way that I do radio. Silent Words Unleashed. We think about it. We talk about it. We change it. We know that we live in a world right now that is not treating everyone fairly, not treating everyone equally. In some cases, not even treating everyone like human beings. But we know that through a constitutional amendment that everyone in the United States is free. We know the history of black and brown or black people being kidnapped, brought to America, and suffering through slavery. We know these things. We know that the education in certain areas is subpar, if not horrific. We know about the poisoning of people in Detroit, and we can assume that if it was a more affluent neighborhood, the lead levels wouldn't be as high as they are. We know that oftentimes, African Americans are shot by police because they seem suspicious, strong, or dangerous. We know all these things, but at the end of it all, we all should be able to overcome these things. So saying that you're free is saying a little sometimes. Sometimes it's saying a lot. But I want to ask you, in being free, why haven't you moved forward? Question. Are your excuses your new chains? Once again, you're listening to Silent Words Unleashed. My name is Robert Douglas Drake III, and I'm here to do radio the way that I do radio. And if we ever cross paths, remember this. I didn't come to make friends. I came to make a difference. With that said, I won't take up another second of your time. I want to introduce you to my co-host, the most truthful and prolific person in talk radio. He goes by the name of Mr. Tyrone K. Dunmore. Tyrone, are you with me?
Yes, I am, brother. Hopefully loud and clear.
Oh, yeah, you're loud and clear there, sir. We also should be joined by Mr. Charles E. Treadway. He's not here yet, but he'll join us later. And many other callers around the world, around the country, that want to get into this conversation, we welcome you into this conversation because we think about it, we talk about it, and we change it. Not about just us on this show. It's about all of us. So, Tyrone, knowing the things that people are up against, we're just going to jump right into this thing. A year or so ago, we agreed to take the word can't out of our vocabulary. This word can not, of course we know can't is an abbreviation, cannot. And a lot of people look at the not as N-O-T. I tend to look at the not as not, like trying to not. Why do I look at it like this? Because to me, one of the most powerful things against any human being is the thought that they can not, that there can, there should be, they will, or they do, has turned into can knotted up, not able to move forward, not able to think clearly, not able to achieve whatever they want to achieve in life because they're thinking about all the things they're up against instead of all the things they can do, knots them up, ties them up, chains them down, so to speak, so they can't move forward. Does that mean that all the things that I listed earlier don't exist? Absolutely not. They do exist, and they've existed for a long time. But the thing that we want them to understand tonight, Tyrone, the thing that I want them to understand, I'm going to let you speak for yourself, is that they can. And if they believe they can, they will. But as long as they can, is knotted up with this cannot, then they're their own worst enemy. They don't need change. They don't need physical change. They chain themselves down. Can you kind of speak to this, sir?
Yeah, that's pretty unique how you have transformed the can not. And when I say that, transformed it, moving it in another form, that's what transform means, to move, transit form into another level of thinking. And when you say not, as we've been brought up and heard this phrase constantly over and over again, we're our own worst enemies. I have to totally wholeheartedly agree with you when you say the knot. And that knot, just like we're hanging our own selves, the noose, we're putting it around our own necks. The chains have been released from, say, the ankles, but they have not been released, loose from the heart and the mind and the soul and the spirit, which castrates and paralyzes and pretty much stifles any further growth in any human being if they feel like they cannot do something. It's an easy cop-out of can do something. It's the difference between a loser and a winner. Someone who's just in the league and someone who becomes a champion of the league or champion of this sport, because they have to compete within themselves against other either teams, other individuals for the top prize. And if they went into their sport, you know, it's amazing how we idolize a lot of these sports figures and there's a good part of that. Yeah, I don't disagree with it, but if you take the spirit of a Michael Jeffrey Jordan or Serena Williams or Venus Williams or Charles Barkley or any athlete who overcame many odds in their lives, whether they grew up in the South, grew up poor, whether they grew up in the hood, if you take their spirit, their motivation, their ambition, their drive, and you see how they transform their particular environment, which was poverty, which was ghetto, let's say, which was the have-nots, and they said, you know, they climbed that mountain. They just didn't talk about the mountain, but they put in the work, and that part of it is what is so severely lacking. And so many people, because we like to talk about what we can't do and use that as a crutch and an excuse why we are where we are. And even if you have someone in your family who is motivated, who's driven, who you see is becoming successful in many different, let's say, levels in their life, there's a being driven. And then the religious people will tell you that God doesn't give you a spirit of fear. You know, fear, finding evidence appearing real. So I would wholeheartedly agree that cannot, those knots that we're tying, those nooses, those ropes we're putting around our own necks, those chains are being self-inflicted. We become self-shut-in, and instead of exploring opportunities, we keep making excuses of why we don't have opportunities. And they're everywhere. But you got to have a sense of courage. You got to have strength. You got to be strong, because many things are being said that, as you said, we can't. And if you buy into the can't, you buy into the have-nots, if you buy into the, well, I didn't get a college degree, so I can't do this. If you buy into, well, I got a criminal record, well, I got a felony, I can't. You keep falling back into the can. Literally, falling back into the can, and we know what they do with cans. They can goods in cans. They put things
in. Yes, sir.
And so you crawling into the can. I know we sometimes use the phrase crabs in a barrel, but we know a can is one of them smaller items used to put things in. And a lot of people have put in those cans, cannot. Their dreams, their aspirations, their goals, they just pretty much check out and give up on what they want to do. I think the biggest problem with us is people got to figure out what do they really want to do, stop talking about it, and just consistently keep working at it and make it happen. And you really got to believe
in it.
If you don't believe in what you're doing, anybody can come along and discourage you. That's why it's called this. Courage, they take away from your courage, and if you allow other people to do that, it still falls back on you. Stop blaming other people for your shortcomings. Stop blaming other people for your insecurity. Stop using, as you say all the time, your excuses mount more than your solutions. And as long as you have that mindset, you will don't have to worry about being hung by a tree. You are already hanging your own self from the tree, because you stem from the tree of life. And in the tree of life, we're supposed to grow. It's called family tree for a reason. There's a root. Deep down in them roots, there's a trunk. As a tree grows up, it has different branches. And from them branches, it can have fruit. It can have flowers, leaves. Nevertheless, it's different forms of life, different levels. But if you allow the root to be cut, then the tree will die. And when they take your ability to really believe in yourself and have you believing in everything but self and waiting for someone else to do it for you, whether it's educate you, whether it's for employ you, we are still in many ways slaves. And not slaves in the sense of Slavic, but incarcerated and imprisoned with our own belief patterns, our own thought process. So we become our own prisoners in our own body, because your spirit is a living, live, expanding, fun. It's supposed to expand. It is not supposed to be feel like it's stuck. And some people get so stuck to the point the spirit gets disconnected from the mind, because the mind gets twisted, and then people want to check out, literally. They want to take their lives because the spirit in them really wants to grow and it wants to do certain things. And if it gets depressed to the point of where people become despondent, really depressed, they become confused, they can become distorted in their thinking. This is where you can lead up to people literally committing suicide, where they take their lives, because within you is supposed to expand, and you cannot keep suppressing it without there's going to be some serious ramification. And we suppress it in many ways. We use many different levels of escapism. Unfortunately, in our communities, a lot of times that is drugs or alcohol, as an escape from the pain, because we feel so much like failures. We feel so much like we haven't accomplished, we ain't doing nothing. Why? Because too many times we're waiting for somebody else to do it for us. And as long as you keep waiting for somebody else to do it for you, you probably will continue to keep living out the bottle or sticking something in your vent or snorting something up your nose. or looking for some other escapism from the pain. Again, we wasn't given a spirit of fear. You know, don't tell me about faith if you got a whole bunch, if you're scared. You're scared to grow. Because the only thing in this universe that is constant is change. So if you're constantly doing the same things you've been doing over the last 1, 2, 5, that simply means it's time for change. And if you don't change, that means you are putting a noose around your own personal growth and in your family. And we got it's at an epidemic proportion right now. Because we have a system of beliefs that exploits us, manipulates us, suppresses us, dominates us, does control us. And what do they control? They control the way you think. As long as the way they control the way you think, they'll be able to control the way you're going to act or behave. So, and this is a diabolic plan because this education system as a whole doesn't work for the masses of people. If it did, then more people would be happy. More people would be successful. More people wouldn't feel like they have no hope. You wouldn't have all these homeless people. There's people right now that are in a home and still living like they're homeless. And what I mean by that is their spirit, even though they're in a home, per se, or apartment or condo, whatever, the real temple or the real home, which I'm talking about their body being the temple, you don't move that. You don't. If you move it, you move it very cautiously because you're scared to explore. You're scared to experience. Thus, you will not truly enjoy this whole beautiful gift that we have called life. So you're absolutely right. The knotted upside your head, knotted around your neck, knotted in your spirit. You're tied up. You're tied up. And that's part of what? Kidnapping. That is part of kidnapping, to tie you up. So you've been tied up more ways than one. And you're still tied up right now. If you really look at the mirror and look at what progress have you made as an individual, then for your family, then for your community, then for your nation, for the world. So that's what I'm going to
say. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, people, we've talked about cannot. Not the same cannot that you always hear about, K-A-N-N-O-T, but C-A-N-K-N-O-T, not. A lot of times people take these excuses, they wrap them around their neck like Tyrone says, they put them in a knot and they hold themselves there. We know all the things that we're up against. We know everything that we're up against. But I'm going to tell you what we cannot continue to allow to happen. No matter how we ended up here in America, kidnapped. Most of you think that you were slaves from the beginning, but you were kidnapped. Free people kidnapped and brought here to America. And I don't care if you spend one decade in this country, if you spend one day, 1 minute, or 1 hour, what you cannot do is not change. You cannot come here and never gain energy. Yeah, that's what I said. Come here and never gain energy. Change. C-H-A-N-G-E. You come here and you never gain energy. That's ridiculous. Because the energy that the people have right now, the power that the people have right now, let me hit you with some truth right now. Guess where they gained it from? They once went somewhere. They once traveled somewhere from wherever they were to a place that was yours. And they changed. They gained energy. You can do the same thing. But let's talk about cannot right now. Can't in its original content that the people gravitate to. Cannot. C-A-N-N-O-T. I'm going to tell you what you cannot do. Because there is something that you cannot do. You cannot gain power, energy, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding without using your resources. So we're going to introduce Charlie right now and let him give his intake, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about what you can't do.
Here you go.
I know what you can do.
Thank you much, John.
And you have to know what you can do. But there's one thing that you cannot do, and I'm going to break that down to you in a minute. I'm coming to drop bombs, haymakers, swinging uppercuts tonight because I want you to get this. Charlie, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here. How are you? Good evening, John.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Just got off of work after being on my feet all day. But this is also my enjoyment on a Sunday evening. I heard a lot of what you had spoke about, what Tyrone addressed as in being slaves. But I also want to bring another aspect into this. And that is actually people who are still making us slaves from our own people. All right? You can't get ahead because you're black. You can't get ahead because you're a black male who has a prison record. You can't get ahead because you're a black female because you didn't graduate high school. You can't get ahead because you're black or you're a minority. That's also something that we need to address. And a lot of people, unfortunately, in our respective communities listen to that nonsense. And it's easy for them to say that, oh man, yeah, that's right, I can't get there because I'm black. I can't get there because I'm on Spanish. I can't get there for whatever reason. I'm crippled. And I'm here to tell you folks, whoever said that to you, whoever tried to discourage you, you gotta look at the underlying fact too. They wouldn't have a job in social services or DCF or any kind of agency if they did not have people that were labeled so-called victims, all right? They got to get paid too. So what's the only way that you can get paid? You know, make a problem where there is not a problem. Now, I'm not saying that there is not legitimate forms of issues that are important and pertinent to our community. Domestic violence is one. Hunger is one. Being an advocate for child advocacy is another. But if there's not a problem, don't let these people create a fake one so that they can still maintain their hold on society and their hold on basically being able to collect a paycheck. Because believe me, folks, these are well-paid positions. Some people, yes, they do it out of the goodness of their heart and the money that they make. It might help take care of the bills. But some of these people generally go home and think about that little child maybe that they came in contact with today or that couple that just can't get a break, all right? It's the ones that I'm talking about that basically know if there's not a problem, they got to create one. And I think a lot of us have fallen into that system. And there's an old adage that my father and my mother, my grandmother, my uncles taught me. Don't get in the system, because once you get in the system, it's harder to get out of the system. And I think once we address that issue and instill that in the young people today, don't get in the system, because if you get in the system, it's hard to get out of the system. If we instill that you can be what you want to be. President Obama was not a fluke, all right? That took a lot of hard work to get that man elected almost 8 years ago. And ever since they got him elected, people have been trying to get him out of office over nonsense. But as long as you stay steadfast, you believe in yourself, eventually others will look towards you, okay? Still, you have a lot of people in our respective communities that they think that the minister or the pastor or the reverend or the evangelist is the savior of the church, all right? And they look at whatever these people say, it must be, you know, coming out of their gold-filled lips, all right, or that silver tongue. Matter of fact, they used to call it old expression from back in the day, you silver-tongued devil, because it sounded like everything that came out of your mouth did not sound wrong. But I'm here to tell you, don't think that those people aren't capitalizing on the misnomers of the respective communities that they're in, because I guarantee you they probably don't live in those communities. They might come down there and preach and be there maybe at their office during the week, but a lot of them, the parsonage is separate from where the church is. And usually
Absolutely.
The parsonage is in a better neighborhood, but I don't want to monopolize the time. That's all I have to say on that particular subject.
Okay. And you brought up a lot of stuff, and Tyrone brought up a lot of stuff that's taking me to the next segment. And we're going to get into that in a few seconds. We got a couple of callers on the line that want to chime in, but we're going to take a short break real quick, and we'll be back. Once again, you listen to Silent Words Unleashed, where we think about it, we talk about it, and we change it.
This is PAM. I'm talking to you Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. on Silent Words Unleashed. You can talk to me by calling 347-855-8358.
That's right. You listen to Silent Words Unleashed. My name is Robert Douglas Drake III, and I'm here to do radio the way that I do radio. Pam, if you can screen that Waco call for me and try to give me a name, and we'll get that caller into the call. Tyrone, you spoke about something about the roots, the trees, and the branches. This is what I want people to understand, young, old, black, white, brown, orange, green, whatever society you come from, whatever culture you in. This is what you can't do. You cannot become as successful as you want to be without using your scarce resources. Now, what are the scarce resources that most of the time in the black community we don't take advantage of? We don't take advantage of the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of our ancestors. And this is a big mistake. You cannot achieve some of the things that you want to achieve without consulting with someone that is in the knowing, not in the believing, in the knowing, someone that knows how to make things happen. Someone that can sit down and tell you, even if they weren't successful, how you should plan things, how you should go about things. You cannot be lazy and achieve your goals. You cannot live without a passion. See, this is where we separate making money from a passion that will create wealth for you. See, most of our people have a lack of passion for living. And they have a passion for death. Now, how does this death come about? This death comes about by discouragement, something that Tyrone spoke on briefly. It also touches on something that Charlie spoke on briefly. You know, if you're a convicted felon, society tells you what you can't do. They very rarely talk to you about what you can do. So what you have to do is use your scarce resources. Is there someone in your family that may be a felon that is living better than you are, then ask them questions. This is how you learn. You ask them questions. You don't be bashful. You don't have too much pride. You ask them, how did you do this? How did you overcome this? And they will sit down with you, most of them, and explain to you the things that you need to do. But what do most of us do? We want to be grown. We want to scream how strong we are and continue to make our stupid asses weak. You need to talk to people. You're thinking about it already. I want to be better. That's the first part. What did I say we do? We think about it, we talk about it, and we change it, whatever it is. If you're a convicted felon, I don't care if you lost job after job after job. Whatever your situation is, you can change it. And when I'm saying you can change it, that means you have to make up your mind that you want to change it. And then you have to surround yourself with people that you see that are making changes. Tyrone talked about it a few seconds ago. Transformation. So you have to want to transform from where you are to where you want to go. And then you have to have the ability not to look at the darkness that's in front of you, but to see the light that's on the other side of the darkness. See, everybody can't do that because they are in the cannot phase, the C-A-N-K-N-O-T. Nobody wants to hear me. Nobody will understand me. Nobody wants to help me. I don't give a shit how many people that you say don't want to help you. Do you want to help yourself? And if you want to help yourself, you will find the resources to make it happen. But you have to have a passion. See, there's a difference in going out and just learning something and getting into a career or getting a job. But when you have a passion for something, when you have a passion for something, it is something that's embedded in your soul. It is something that when you start seeing just a little movement, it screams out in your soul. It may bring tears to your eyes, but these may not be tears of sadness. These are tears of joy because you finally see some movement. You finally start to get confidence in yourself that you can make things happen. I know y'all too near me not to hear me. I don't care where you are in the world right now. If you can hear us talking to you right now, then you need to get off your ass and start making a change. You need to come here and not be a person that won't gain energy. You need to start making a difference. You need to stop relying on these superstar images that you see and think that they are the only chosen people. You need to stop taking it to heart when you speak to somebody and they say, I'm blessed, like you're not blessed. And a lot of us believe that. Are they blessed? I'm not blessed. Well, if you're still breathing, you blessed to some degree. People teach you all this stuff about favor is not fair. I'm going to tell you what's not fair. What's not fair is not believing in yourself. That's what's not fair. Because you're cheating yourself. You're beating yourself every chance that you get. And that's ridiculous. Now, with that said, we have a caller from the Waco area, LaRon. LaRon, are you there? Hello, LaRon. Okay. I don't hear LaRon. Okay. Tyrone, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, Tyrone, I thought I had got disconnected because I got a little passionate there. And you know sometimes when I get passionate on these things, the system rails against us. So let me get you and Charlie in and give some input. I like the way this thing is going right now. Man, I'm sweating. This, you know, I'm so tired of people making excuses, having more excuses than they have resources. And you know what? They continue to be poor. And you can talk to them about that poor deal because I know there's something that you like. Tyrone, help me out, bro.
Yeah, by saying poor, the brilliant mind is one of the branches of the Drake family tree of life, came up with a very powerful acronym. And most people, when they think poor, of course, they're thinking of somebody in poverty, disenfranchised, and underprivileged, and all that. But what this young man came up with was the acronym POOR, that stands for passing over opportunities repeatedly. This is why a lot of people are poor. A lot of people are poor in spirit. They're poor in drive. They're poor in ambition. They may be even poor in health. They're poor in experience. As you get older, the experience in life is like so enjoyable. Not just being here in life, but all the experience, all the exploring here on the earth. And so, you know, passing over opportunities repeatedly is what a lot of people do. I can tell you from firsthand experiences that a lot of things I had to change in my business, and I've made a lot of different changes in my life with going into different, as they call it, career levels. I did all kind of different jobs. And when it comes down to it, as now I'm at 55, double nickel, and God willing, as the people will say, if I reach November when my birthday, I will be 56, God willing, to say. But I said at that point, background noise, I don't know what that is. Somebody need to mute their mic or something. Nevertheless, at this point, my passion is education, entertainment, and travel. Because that's what I'm the most passionate about. And with that education, entertainment can be just something as simple as entertaining your family, being entertained at home, not necessarily going to, definitely not a club or concert, but just entertaining and exploring different things in life. We, unfortunately, too many times put ourselves under house arrest. We may put ourselves under state arrest. You know, you think that some people are just locked up in the state of Texas or locked up in the state of Connecticut or locked up in the state of Georgia or North Carolina, whatever. When you think of that term, you think of people being incarcerated in a correctional institution. Well, let's take that a step deeper. A lot of people are incarcerated and locked up and on their own state arrest because they don't even leave the state they live in. They don't go venture out and travel. They don't, as they say, go see the world. And we'll use little silly phrases like, it's a small world. No, it's not. It is a very humongous world when you think about all the opportunities, all the different states, all the different countries, different islands. There's so much out there if you want to really explore and see the world, so to say. All you have to do is get a passport. And if you don't have a passport, you can at least see many different states in the United States. And go to these different areas. And many of us have either family or friends that are in these other states. And the only time normally we go to these, if there's somebody sick or there's a death in the family, then you go chucking down south or you go out to the Midwest, you go out to the West because you had a death in the family. And that is a poor way to be just transitioning. When someone transitions to now you got to transport your body to another place. Why can't you go places you've never been to experience things you've never experienced so you can have memories that you will never have unless you go do it? So those opportunities lay there for us. But if you don't think outside that little box, and that little box usually is that television, then you'll find yourself doing the same redundant, as they say, vicious cycle year after year. You got some people who haven't went on vacation for years, whether you're a business owner, whether you work for somebody. I'm talking about a real vacation where you stack your little money, put some money to the side, and go away, just as they say, get away from it all and go to some place you've never been before, something you want to try. We don't do this. A lot of us don't do this. We have incarcerated ourselves. We have imprisoned ourselves. We have enslaved ourselves into the small little world that we created, which is basically a little prison. And I love our as we call our catchphrase, if you want to say, our motto. Yeah, we think about it all the time. You might be thinking about a lot of stuff, especially those big TV watchers. You look sitting up there watching all these exotic islands and watching these beautiful places, and it doesn't take a whole lot of money to go to places like Aruba or to, if you say, Mexico. And I ain't talking about the so-called negative things they say about Mexico, whether it's to go to Jamaica or Puerto Rico or wherever island you may want to go to, Trinidad or Cuba, wherever you may want to travel, you get your passport and you pay your little fee, and those things are good for many years, and just travel. But people think about it, they talk about it, but we, the last piece of it we keep missing out, change it. Did we change? Because you know what? When you go to a store and you buy an item and you know there is change, you always ask for your change. You'll say, where's my change? If you know some change, do. Well, there's some change due in you and I, us. We also have to change because as we are parting off these bills every week, every month, every year, with all bills, there normally is change. You got some change coming back. Well, we got to change. If we don't, we'll be held back. And this goes back to what Charlie said earlier, and I just want to touch on that real quick when he says to get ahead. I don't want really to get ahead. I want to be the head. I want to be ahead. And I ain't trying to get ahead.
Sir.
I want to be the head. And what I mean by be, talking about head means the lead. See, we've been told these things like leaders of the free world. And many of us have become leaders in our own minds of being slaves in prison, incarcerated world, because we have created most of our own problems. And the only problems, because we see them as problems, or we don't recognize them as problems, so we don't even challenge it. And I always say you have to take a paradigm shift in your thinking, and anything that creates a problem in your life, as you want to call it, just be up for the challenge to what? Change it. Change up. We look up to leaders instead of look up and become leaders. And I'm not saying for people to be leaders. I'm talking about taking charge back of your life. Like when you get in that car, you, regardless what's under that engine, how many wheels you got, you are driving that car. You are taking it wherever you're going to go with it. So you are the head. That car thing without somebody driving it. It's there. You got to have the right key to open it first, to get inside, to go into ignition, to start it. You have to have the right fuel where you got to go. You got to keep the right maintenance. Let's take that car and make it synonymous with us as human beings. What? We got to have the right key so we can drive what in the right direction to the place we need to go. That we have to go. We can't sit there waiting for someone to give us a car. You have the key. Wait for someone to give us some fuel. You have the fuel. You have the spirit. You are God, this incarnate. And you are the Most High in you. Start thinking more on a level of becoming, not just talking king, queens, and God and goddesses. We have to be that. Not just try to get that, be it, become it. Again, we think about it all the time. We sure enough talk about it so many times. And I know our people love to hear people talk, and that talking becomes really entertainment if you don't move on it. So you can get a great message at the temple, at the mosque, at the lodge, at the church, but if you don't act on that great message coming from whoever we look up to or look to as leaders, then what's the, why was the sense of you getting the message? The message is supposed to motivate you. The message is supposed to encourage you. The message is supposed to be inspiring to you. That's why people go religiously every week to their places of spiritual or religious institutions to get their batteries recharged. After messing around out in this world, you need a nice, good message. Many people need that, but you can get your own messages every day. We got these computers, and you can go online, and you can find many great, inspiring teachers online that are constantly dropping what we all know to be as jewels. And remember, it's more important to drop jewels than to be walking around parading with a bunch of jewels. So I don't care about your gold. I don't care about your diamonds, your pearls, your emeralds, your rubies, and all those fine precious stones you might be wearing or flossing. Those are just things you wear. But that doesn't make you move. What makes you move is the jewels that you're supposed to pick up from those who are sent to you to help inspire you, encourage you, to motivate you. And we know it starts off with educating you about you. And that means the godly, the God, the divine in you, not the delirious you, not the depressed you, not the undetermined you or the despondent you, but the divine you. And it's not said in a very, if you want to say, hostile or arrogant way. It's you really got to think it into existence or you never become it. They said that if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. We don't achieve it because we don't conceive it. We look at ourselves as just mere mortals, men and women, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome to the, you know, welcome to the sideshow. Again, we got to be the head. We got to take charge once again. With the right information, the right directions, the right knowledge.
Yes, sir. Well said, Tyrone. Charlie, let's hear from you, Charlie.
Well, there's really nothing to hear from me. I mean, pretty much it's all been said. People have to have respect for themselves. And take charge of their own life. It's very convenient to complain. It's very convenient to blame others for your situation. But, you know, just like T said and just like you said earlier, if you want change or bring about change, you have to change yourself. Or like Michael Jackson said, look in the mirror. That's all I got to say.
Yes, sir. And with that said, of course, we can't go through this whole show without bringing up who I believe is a genius. He was a genius in his own mind, Mr. Prince Rogers Nelson. And we know Prince passed away a couple of days ago. And I think through his passing, people are finding out just how charitable this young man was. And I say young man, a man that transitioned at the age of 57 years old. And a lot of people didn't know because of his energy and the way that he performed and all that he had to give that he was actually that almost 60 years old, 57 years old. Through several of the news reports, man, I found out this dude has friends, friends that you wouldn't believe that it was his friends. People from the White House, Van Jones, that was worked in the Obama administration. And he spoke about when he lost his job or when he resigned or whatever the situation was at the White House, one of the first people to reach out to him was Prince. Now, that was kind of mind-boggling, you know, to myself. And I'm pretty much ready for anything. But I'm like, dang, Prince reached out to this guy first and told him, you know, there was something else out there for him to do. Invited him to his recording studio, became good friends with the guy. I don't know what the relationship was before that, but and that doesn't matter. And this is what people get into so much. It's when somebody comes to you, no matter what the past was, can we do something moving forward? And a lot of people get stuck on the past, and they tend to knot themselves, K-N-O-T, knot themselves up where they can't move forward. And then you criticize the other person when they continue to move forward. These are the things that we have to stop. We have to stop all of this hate, you know. And I want to say this right now about Prince. Once again, he was a genius, not only in music. This guy was well-versed in a lot of different things that people didn't even understand because they didn't actually know him as a human being. Maybe they didn't read his book. Maybe all they saw was the entertainment side. And all of us, we have some type of entertainment value, but this is not what we're all about. What we have to do is genuinely know the people. I'm saying that to say this. Stop judging books by the cover. Get to know people. Don't see somebody that has a different religion than you and automatically judge by what you've heard. Maybe you should stop and hear from them. Maybe you should talk to them. You know, become civil with them and have a conversation with them, and you might learn something. You might learn that you've been misled the whole time. You know, we constantly criticize other countries and other religions, but we never criticize these Republicans and Democrats that are acting like Christians 24/7. And when I say, well, I'm going to say impersonating Christians and acting like fucking devils. Yeah, I said that. They impersonate Christians and acting like devils. And this doesn't happen only on that level. It happens on the everyday level with common people. Oh, they're common people too. But because of the levels of society and the caste system that you probably don't know where that came from, look it up. I'm not going to tell you. We put people on high levels just because of positions that they're in. And we tend to overlook people that have great morals that may not be in a great financial situation. That's our fault, not their fault. We constantly talk about come as you are, but when people come as they is, not as they are, as they is, and yes, I know that's not correct English, but when they come as they is, guess what you do? You push them back to where you used to be. Oh. Yeah, I said, you push them back to where you used to be instead of pulling them past you, not just where you are, but pulling them to where you are and then pushing them past you. So sometimes when you push, you know, you say it all the time, praying for something to happen. Maybe I'll just make something happen. Because when you pray, to me, is one of the most, let me see, it's the right word I want to use right here. One of the most selfish forms of charity that we can do. Instead of you helping somebody, you pray that somebody else will help them. You help them. Because the comfort will come to people, and you don't know what the comfort is. It may be a song. It may be a speech. It may be a handshake. It may be a hug. It may be you. So you talk about people blocking their blessings. Stop blocking other people's blessings. Reach out to each and every human being out there. Do all that you can do and be all that you can be. Because you can be the person that influences somebody to do better. Don't be the can't. Don't be the person that's in a knot that's giving people excuses not to do better. Because you're not doing better. Treat folks like you want to be treated, and you'd be surprised what happens. Doesn't take any hard work. We can't be lazy to push change. We can't be lazy. Now, back on this deal with Prince, and I'm going to say this. Jay-Z is a very phenomenal individual in the hip-hop world, or the rap game, or just business, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people will say he catapulted to his level because of the passion of Tupac and Biggie. He was in the right place at the right time, so to speak. This could be true, but there's no way to prove it. But we can say, well, Biggie and Tupac are not here. Tupac was a multi-platinum artist. Tupac was well-versed. Tupac was a very studied, educated individual. Don't know that much about Biggie. Biggie did have some good music. Where am I going with this? When we're talking about passing over opportunities repeatedly, sometimes you have to seize the moment. Sometimes you can't worry about what people will say or what people will do. Prince was a genius for decades, all the way back from the 80s until 2016, writing songs for people that you wouldn't imagine. He could just hear it and call people on the phone and say, I got a song for you. I need you to come over here. This is it. Sometimes he didn't take credit for the records. He just knew that it was something that had to happen, something that he had to get out because that was his passion. Beyonce is next. Beyonce is in a position right now, and we tend to hold on to people that came before us, the Whitney Houston, and all the great people that came before her that were female vocalists or female entertainers, and this is not to take anything away from them. But I want you, I know you, some of us are so addicted to the TV and social media that you read all these things that they're saying right now about Lemonade. But I want you to go back. If you haven't listened to that Lemonade, the visual album, and if all you see in this album is that she thinks her husband is cheating, you need to go back. You need to listen to it with your eyes closed. You need to watch with your eyes open the videos. And if you still only get that she's talking about a cheating husband, start over because you don't get it. This Lemonade is a pure work of genius. This lady is about to take center stage and take off like you won't believe. Because in this album, she is trying to tell people how they have to break this generational curse. Let me just drop some things for you in case you don't understand them when you watch. There's a lady there with a 90th birthday or 89th birthday. This is Jay-Z's grandmother. This is where Beyonce gets this whole theme of lemonade because she says, I was served lemons and I had to turn it to lemonade. Now, how many times have we heard people say this? She also, in this, is giving people an opportunity to understand that you may have been hurt before by men, and it may have been men that was your spouse or men that was uncles or fathers. But you have to get yourself together and understand that you need to have a powerful unit, a man and a woman on the same page, what you Christians say, evenly yoked, moving forward and working together against all odds. And when you watch it, if I'm wrong, these lines are always open. Call me and tell me. Call me and we can have a debate. But this is a pure work of genius, artistic genius, that is bigger than music. Bigger than music. This is about life. This is about unity. And she may never, ever, ever listen to one of these shows, but I know she used the same process that we use. She thought about this. She talked about this. And if you look at this with an open mind or listen with an open mind, there's going to be some change. She speaks about how these generational curses have to be broken. It may not be that clear when you watch it, but it's encoded in there. And then they get to the last video, Formation, that you saw in the Super Bowl. And I want you to know this, young folks and old folks. Some of y'all are not ever get shot by the police because you should have your hands up in the air 24/7. Why? Because you have surrendered. You have given up because you think you cannot when you can. And there is no reason to shoot a person that's not hitting the ground running. There is no reason to harm a person that is doing more harm to themselves. There is no reason to wake somebody that is sleeping, like they have an IV of sleeping pills. There is no reason to care or give value to a people that don't give value to themselves. Some of you love your tennis shoes more than you love your mama and your kids. Some of you love your cars more than you love self-preservation, more than your passion. And people will sit there and say, well, Robert, you wear nice shoes. You drive a nice car. And yes, I do. But let me tell you something. I care more about myself than any of that stuff. I lived with it. I lived without it. But I live. And I'm stressing live. Because there's a difference between people that are living life than people that are just getting by. There's a big difference between people that have found a way to live and people that are stuck in survival mode 24/7. I say this not to be brash, not to be cocky, or not to be anything or whatever you conceited, whatever you want to call it. I say these things to motivate you. When I tell you that I live life like tomorrow don't exist, this is what I want you to hear if you don't hear it. I'm free. I wake up each and every morning that I'm blessed. And I'm saying that because I want everybody to know that if you wake up, you're blessed. And if you don't wake up, you blessed. Because we can't believe or keep saying that somebody died on the cross for our salvation and believe that it didn't count for everybody. That's some sick religious shit. And you can't keep doing that to yourself or to other people. You cannot continue to live your life through somebody else's dream. Not Jesus' dream, not Martin Luther King's dream, not Tupac's dream, not Whitney Houston's dream. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you, what is your dream? Are you living your dream? Last week, I said to you, we look at Muhammad Ali and we say he's the greatest of all time. But are you being the greatest of your time? See, there's a thing called birth that will soon persist by something called death. There's nothing that we can do about it. Everybody has a beginning and everybody has an end. Even our heroes transition. We can't hold them here. But what's important is the in-between. How do you live life? Do you live life like one of the have-nots? Or do you live life like one of the I can't? Do you understand when people say that there is no I in team? This is true. But the team is made up of great individuals that all do what they are called to do. And when I'm saying called, they do their passion. They have found their passion. They're not trying to have Charlie's passion. They're not trying to live Tyrone's passion. They don't give a shit about Robert Drake's passion. They care about their passion. And when you do that, you understand how much power, how much energy you can generate. Does that mean you don't care about anybody else? I know some of you ignorant motherfuckers are thinking, well, he's telling me just to be self-contained and not worry about anybody else. That's because you have not gained the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding. You can't read the codes. Wake up, folks. Get out of this functioning coma. Because when you do that, when you say things like that, after Charlie and Tyrone and myself and whoever else comes on this line gives you some encouragement and you crawl right back into your hibernating hole and go back to sleep, with them fucking excuses. And no matter how hard we try, there's nothing we can do for you until you decide to do something for yourself. So don't keep asking, what did grandma do for me? What did my mom and my daddy do for me? What are you doing for your damn self? Your D-A-M self. Your dedicated, active mind. Think right, talk right, walk right, act right, and right things will come to you. And guess what? When you fill that vessel up with so much right, it'll start spilling over on other people. Tyrone, let's hear from you, sir.
Charlie, take some of that.
Charlie, come on, Charlie.
Yeah, let Charlie do something with that. I'll be right behind you. Charlie there?
I think Charlie might have passed out.
Oh, man.
Charlie. Charlie, take your phone off mute, Charlie. He's so anxious to jump in there. He probably got his phone on mute. But,
okay.
People.
We have any
we
callers?
We know. We had a caller. We lost him. We got a lot of people online that's just listening. And if you want to join in before Tyrone wraps this thing up, people, push one, and I'll interrupt him, no matter what the point he is, to get you in.
Come on.
But if nobody wants to talk, Tyrone, we'll let you go ahead and drop the mic, and we'll call it a wrap.
Okay. You sure nobody wants to speak up? Oh, man.
No hands.
I'd like to hear from some of our callers, some of our listeners. I really do. But anyway, I want to touch, just finish real quick. I'm not going to hold people long. There is a code that I know for a fact that most people have no idea what the late, great, now who's transitioned, Prince Roger Nelson, probably his most recognized song on this globe, which he also did a movie score on, which of course is Purple Rain. Why Purple Rain? Did anybody ever probably take that into a deeper thought process of Purple Rain? Why was purple such the color that he spoke on that was synonymous with his whole being and his musical genius self? Does anybody have any clue? Probably not.
Yeah, well, I know purple is a royal color or has some royal presence to it. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely. You are definitely on the right track. Yes, that's royal. And what makes purple? What is known as red and blue. And you mix the colors red and blue, which are two colors that are in the rainbow, a sign above, basically a shield in the earth, as we call it, atmosphere, but it's really a quadrosphere, meaning there are levels going up from what we call the earth up to what we revolve around, which is the sun. In the earth, there are, on that rainbow, as they call it, rainbow. Why is it called a bow? Because it is what? It's a curvature, basically what? 180 degrees. And that 180 degrees is what? That number 9. You follow? It's a shield placed inside. And 180 degrees is also half of what we know as the knowledge. Because a full circle is the 360 degrees, which the spheres that we look to that deal with our weather on the earth are what? They are round. They are 360. The moon comes, and they call it the full moon. But in its totality, it's a full circle. It's a cipher, right?
Those, yes, sir.
Within those seven colors, from the sun, as they call it, that it looks, appears red. This is nothing but a refraction, what they call. Go look this up in the rainbow, and a dispersion of light in water, resulting in what we know as a prism, or they call it the spectrum of light. Red is the first one from the sun. That's the first one. That's why when we look that far up, it looks red to us. And on, you know, as we see, as it appears that the sun is setting, it looks like glowing red. But again, it's a refraction of dispersion of what? Light and water droplets. Because again, we are on a water planet. And I know most people can't relate to that because they figure they're on Earth. But that's why the masters call this the so-called Earth, just because we may reside on the smallest part of it, which is the predominantly what? Aquamarine is water. Anybody that's ever been on a plane and went across seas, anybody that's been on a cruise, they'll tell you go so far out there, you don't see land. I mean, it's an abundance of water here. As you go down the spectrum or the prism, it's red, orange, look this up, yellow, green, blue, indigo, or they call indigo, which is not what we call, it's a different type of blue. And the last one on the spectrum coming down from the sun to the earth is violet, also known as what? Purple. Purple rain. What would the earth be without rain? Without water. Without water, all plants, animals, life on this earth would cease to exist. So, yes, it's royal in the sense of royal rain. Royal. Because without water, you would what? You would dehydrate. And when you dehydrate, you it would cause you to have multiple health issues, including major organs if you weren't hydrated properly. But again, when you hydrate, what are you using? You're still dealing with hydrogen, which is a gas, and oxygen. The earth basically has four spheres on the earth, what we call the atmosphere. Then they have the biosphere, the hydrosphere, and the lithosphere. Go look this up. Those are your four corners. But in that, you have the seven. What is the seven? The red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So it's the last color of the spectrum before what we know as water, what gives us life, comes to the planet. That is the last color it hits or appears to be. So purple rain, when you take it from the higher code, like you said, you got to be able to, what was he talking about? And remember, prince. What is a prince? Prince is a son of a what? A king. So there's much deeper meaning into what he was dropping in the form of his music. But Purple Rain by far was his most popular over the, you know, when you talk about global, of all his songs. You know, so again, I hope you understand that there are seven colors in the rainbow. These are actually what they call spheres, and they are shields. And what do they shield us against? They shield us against the what? The ultra what? Violet. You follow? Ultra violet and gamma rays. Hope I didn't lose nobody. Those spheres, and once they start getting broken up, one of those is called an ozone layer. And this is what they're talking about, fossil fuels and carbon dioxide and turning the planet into the greenhouse effect, where now the planet is warming up because they have made holes with different chemicals that they have released in the atmosphere that has made problems within these spheres. But the purple rain goes back to, again, ultraviolet rays. That's what we're protected against. And more of the ultraviolet rays come through that we're not protected against, it will lead to what we all know to be as cancer or carcinogens that happen because of these gamma rays and the ultraviolet rays that we're supposed to be guarded against because the shield in the form of a rainbow, which are colors, and remember, colors absorb not only sound, they absorb energy, light. All what? Transformations of energy. And in those spheres, you have the stratosphere. You have the troposphere, where weather starts. You have the mesosphere. You have the thermosphere. You have the exosphere, the ionosphere. Go look up your seven spheres. And with those seven spheres, there's those seven colors, which are the seven shields that shield us against harmful rays, against what? The sun. So without the rain, the purple rain, we'd be in trouble. Because the purple is the last what? is the last defense mechanism of the seven different layers or levels of the shield that was placed around the Earth, what we call atmosphere. So think about that. And remember his symbol. Remember that symbol. Go look that up. So I just want to drop that. If anybody have any questions, comments, concerns, or, of course, criticisms, because there's a science behind all of this. It's not just things happen for a reason, as they say. Things were said for a reason. And remember, he was also the same one said, let's party like it's 1999. Because had they not went in and changed all those computers, when the calendar switched from 1999 to 2000, everything would have stopped running. Because they, you know, we're running off computers. The machines have taken over. So they had to go manual inside these computers. Computer techs know what I'm talking about. Had to go in so that they could recalibrate all of the information that was went up to only 1999, which led to a lot of people to believe that the world was going to end in 2000. And that's why I said we're going to party like it's 1999. This is it. In other words, like you said, Brother Drakes, you live today like there is no tomorrow. And he said, let's party like it's 1999. So, again, like with Michael Jackson and Prince, of course, a multi-talented genius, genes. And what are genes? They are intelligent. Intelligent in what's called DNA, carried out through proteins. That's why it's called protein. You become proficient, be a professional. You be progressive. You will progress, pro. That's what we're talking about. And he came to Earth, and this is one of his gifts. And as you said, there's so many charities, there's so many things he gave to that he didn't want people to know about. Yes, people are now learning so much about him because, unfortunately, with many of us, we have to wait till somebody's gone to really appreciate not only what they did, but why they did it and who do they do it for. A lot of people think these artists are just about money. And he was a humongous humanitarian, just like Michael Joseph Jackson was. Prince didn't want people to know he gave this for that, gave that, kept it anonymous. That's the true art of giving without broadcasting it on national TV and calling press conferences and, you know, taking photo ops for you're donating X amount for this and that. So he was truly God incarnate, a God incarnate. And when I say God, I'm not talking about our creator. I'm talking about wisdom, strength, and beauty.
Absolutely. Hey, Tyrone, let's see if we have Charlie. Let's let Charlie finish up real quick. Charlie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Charlie, we have 11 minutes. I need 8 minutes and 17 seconds, so speak quickly. Because I want people to actually hear from Prince and some of the conversations they was having that people probably haven't been privileged to other than the
community. Okay.
So go ahead.
Yeah, that's no problem. That's no problem, Rob. Yes, this week, and we're still mourning the death of Prince Nelson Rogers. I remember back in 1984 when I was on TEC, Tuskegee Radio, Tuskegee University, when Purple Rain came out. I mean, it was just a phenomenal album, just like Michael Jackson, when he came out with Thriller, it appealed to all the masses, just not one genre. And especially Prince, when it came to his fellow bandmates, he was not just relegated to one, say, all musicians. He opened it up for women. I especially remember Wendy and Lisa that were in his band. That was Prince and the New Revolution. Then also when he brought Sheila E. on tour with him, also the Diamonds and Pearls album. I forget the name of that beautiful singer that he did that duet with. Prince was just not only an artist, a humanitarian. I'm just going through the records. here from NBC and other news outlets. Today, his staff and people who worked with him were handing out T-shirts, music that I guess that he had, other things, memorabilia. He was just a very giving, giving person. Nobody expected, obviously, this tragic. And also on the basically, we did a tribute show, folks, on Thursday. So I'm still a little bit, it's hard to believe talking about this man in the past tense. But obviously, the people that not only worked around him, also his relatives, they respected his wishes. Prince was had a very short ceremony, private ceremony. He was cremated, so the physical body is no longer here. He's transitioned, as Tyrone usually says. And what we will now see is basically, we heard about Michael Jackson's vault, and now we have heard about Prince's vault. It is a reality. There is, they say, an album could be released a week from here to the end of the century. So, I mean, that is a lot of stuff that he has put down. And Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam have asked to produce that stuff. And they worked with him as long as his other crews did from Minneapolis, Des Dickerson, Andre Simone, Morris Day and the Time, Vanity Six, but he's back with Vanity, but Apollonia Six. Also, there was just so much that this man gave. And just to finish up, there's another great artist that we also lost today. And that was Mrs. Jones, Mr. Billy Paul. Billy passed away at 81, but still there's a lot of people that have passed early this year, starting with Natalie Cole, then David Bowie. There have been a few other artists I know that I'm leaving out, but this one hurts. And you know how you always basically say that, you know, next time this cat comes around, I'm going to catch him on tour. I'm going to catch him on tour. And I always said that about Prince because he was always performing somewhere. You never thought that he would, I guess you could say, you guys put it earlier, that people put performers on a different plateau, all right? And you forget that he's also a human being, a musical genius that was signed to CBS Warner Brothers Records at the age of 18, who played over 23 instruments. But they're human. They have human emotions, they have human desires, and they have human faults. But this man truly will not only be remembered for his music, but being a great humanitarian in all aspects, the way he played it, the way he lived it, the way he transformed other people's lives. It's going to be a very, very long time before we see a presence as such as great as he was. And Nelson Rogers,
absolutely.
Rest in peace. God bless you. And I always say, till we meet again.
Yes, sir. Also, I'd like to go ahead and dedicate tonight's show to my Uncle Dwight Snell, who transitioned. And people say, you seem like you're in good spirits. And I tell them, I have no choice but to be in good spirits because this is changing of the guards. All of my uncles are gone. On my mother's side, I got to step it up. I have no choice. I have no time to cry. Now, with that said, rare footage from Mr. Prince Rogers Nelson and Tavis Smiley. We're going to end with this. And everybody, no matter what you're doing, get this in your head. You can. You can. You can. Don't worry about the cannots. You can. Step up to the plate, start changing yourself, and start reaching out to people that can help you. That's the way you get it done. We'll see you all next time. Silent Words Unleashed. My name is Robert Douglas Drake III, and I'm here always to do radio the way that I do radio.
I want to go back to Jack Johnson because he's still in the back of my head. I can't get him out of my head where this conversation is concerned. Who have you felt most often like in the ring fighting the record industry, like Jack or the opponent?
Oh, like Jack.
Like Jack?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, because I knew I was right. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this in our very first interview and conversation together, it's obvious now that artists are supposed to own their master recordings. I mean, in the future, it'll be unconscionable to even think you can take somebody's creation and claim ownership of it. See, unfortunately, this discussion is going to start to barrel into a discussion about the human genome and the DNA and all the rest of it. When it gets there, then we're going to be in the deep water.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it's better to start the conversation now before we get into God talk, you know.
There are four songs that I want to ask you about, and I did what I have never done before, which is to actually print these lyrics out. Some of them, since the record is so new, I'm learning some of them. I got some of them memorized.
Who gave you the lyrics, though? I've seen some really strange rewrites of my stuff.
Well,
I've seen one time they said the lyrics to When Doves Cry was Dig If You Will the Picture of Me, Marvin Gaye, and the Kids.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
And then there was another one. This person will go unnamed.
Yes.
She didn't speak the English language too good.
Right.
She had a really cute daughter, so that's why we was acquaintances.
Yeah.
But she swore up and down, Little Red Corvette was pay the rent, collect.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
So you need to let me check that.
Yeah. You know, I'm a fast learner, so I'm not going to read none of these on the air. I'm just going to ask you about the songs and about the lyrical content. And for those who don't have the record, you can go to lotusflower.com and get it and follow along at home, even if you're 2 or 3 days late. You can play this back and follow along. In no particular order, since we mentioned Dreamer first, tell me about Dreamer.
Oh, well, when I saw the State of the Black Union, Dick Gregory really moved me and a lot of my friends. I show it to everybody that comes over the house, especially white folks, because they need to hear that, you know, so that they know more about all of us,
mm-hmm.
because what he said affects all of us. He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails. And, you know, when I was a kid, I used to see these trails in the sky all the time. And so that's cool. A jet just went over. And then you started to see a whole bunch of them. And the next thing you know, everybody in your neighborhood was fighting and arguing, and you didn't know why. Okay? And you really didn't know why. I mean, everybody was fighting. So he started riffing about the chemtrails. And he started to say things that hit home so hard. And I would recommend that everybody try to get what he said online or wherever and try to get a copy of it and just listen to it. Because I was so moved that I had to write the song.
When you leave with all the hassle, can you have that love?
Love.
I'm so tired of you black folks walking around looking all evil like that's going to change something. Looking all mean and talking all crazy. Let them tell you about your children. If I sit here today and these are all white folks and they're putting some sleeping pill in my water, and I sit up here and doze off and go to sleep, and everybody told in the world, niggas is lazy. They tired. No, that's because you too naive enough to know what they putting in my water. Okay? Your children ain't violent because they black. They ain't violent. Most people in the world live in a ghetto. They don't kill people. What are you putting in my malt liquor, white boy? What are you putting in? Huh? Hear me. And it's your fault, too. Malt liquor is made by white companies, but only sold in black neighborhoods, and you ain't checked it to see what's in it. Huh? How much lead are you putting in my neighborhood? Lead affects my thinking capacity. Lead, there's only one thing on the planet more dangerous than lead, and that's manganese. Manganese will make you kill your mama. And let me tell y'all something. If you want to see the largest homicide rate in the world, it ain't in no black ghetto in America. It's a little town in Australia where them white folks' homicide rate is 200 times what their population is. And that town just happened to be located across the street from a manganese plant.
Sit back down, Dick. Don't lose that mic. Yeah.
That town is located across the street from a manganese plant. How much manganese are you spraying in my neighborhood at night while I'm asleep? How in the world can a 9-year-old child find a heroin man, but the FBI can't find it, and you gonna tell me that's a black thing? Y'all crazy? What is this about? These are the things that need to change while this brother and sister's on their way to the White House. And when you see Hillary and y'all see Brother Barack, thank him for me. And you white folks need to be thankful, because if y'all had a brother like me, y'all would really be in trouble. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Gregory.
I was so moved that I had to write the song. The other thing is the first line of the song says I was born on the same plantation, in the United States of the red, white, and blue. And we live in a place now that feels just about like a plantation. We're all indentured servants, you know. When I found out there were 8 presidents before George Washington, I wanted to smack somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to know why I was taught otherwise. Just tell me the whole story. I'll fill in the blanks. But don't tell me something that you think I'm supposed to know.
We're indentured servants, and we got a black president now?
Well, I don't vote. I have nothing to do with it. I got no dog in that race.
And for those who would cuss me out and slap me in person if I didn't ask you why?
Well, the reason why is because I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we've never voted. And that's not to say that I don't think Barack Obama, President Obama, is a very smart individual, and he seems like he means well. Prophecy is what we all have to go by.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Silent Words Unleashed, a product of the Robert Drakes Media Network, executive produced by all of the voices that you hear here tonight and distributed by Drakes Media. We talk about it, or we think about it, we talk about it, and we change it. And I know that you all the time don't believe what we have to say. So I take pride in going to get someone, even though he has transitioned, that I know you believe more than you believe me, and letting you hear his silent words unleashed.
T-Mobile's unlimited plan costs $95 per month for a smaller network, plus monthly taxes and fees. It's enough to wreck your day. Cricket's unlimited plan gives you a bigger network for $25 less per month with monthly taxes and fees included. Cricket Wireless, something to smile about.
Download speeds max of 8 megabits per second LTE and 4 megabits per second 4G. Price comparison based on one smartphone line with unlimited plan. Mobile hotspot not available. Activation, other fees and restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Terms, features, and restrictions subject to change. See store for details.